Okay, we're on. Okay, call the meeting to order at 6 o'clock on the dot. We do have a quorum. Any adjustments to the agenda at this point of anybody? Okay, we'll move on to the approval of the minutes. Meeting July 27th. I'm gonna assume everybody's read them by now, okay? Any problems with it, corrections? Okay, I'll entertain a motion then to approve the minutes.
Recommend that we approve the minutes.
Second.
Motion by Rick, second by Susan, that we approve the minutes of the meeting July 27th, 2022. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Okay, membership update.
Lonnie was, what is the word?
I think it's.
It's not confirmed, it's not eradicated, it's.
Appointed?
Not appointed, ratified. There we go.
Ratified.
Lonnie was ratified by the mayor at the last city council meeting as an official card-carrying member, so congratulations, Lonnie.
Yes.
Thank you.
Welcome.
And after that, it appears our membership is full.
Good.
Congratulations.
Community questionnaire. I'm really sorry that, Sam couldn't be here. Well, let's go to the action plan first. That's the first thing on the agenda, Rick's action plan.
It's kind of self-explanatory. I basically took, you know, the areas that we had talked about in the past and took, you know, and put them into different categories, then put down concerns that I saw and that we talked about within past meetings and put that in a section. And then, some of the recommendations that we talked about in the past and kind of just got it on one piece of paper.
Thank you for doing it. What I would like to do, when I think of an action plan, I think of even more than this, a different organization for it, for us. And you know, generally it would be like looking at our goals that we're gonna look at tonight. And it's, you know, an action plan is basically a list of tasks to be completed to achieve our goals, with assignments of who's gonna do what, maybe. Also some timeframes to get stuff done. It's something that we could look at every meeting, you know, see how we're doing. And so, Rick, I would love it if a couple of us could get together and put your information and the other information that we have to work on as a committee into a full action plan for not just the community questionnaire, but the other tasks that we're, you know, charged with doing. What do you guys think of that?
Where is this action plan?
We don't have one.
Okay, so what you're describing is.
Actually, you know, instead of an action plan, I should have put recommendations.
Yeah.
You know, recommendation, action plan.
But they're all part of an action plan.
It's in the materials.
Okay, alright.
Yeah, I just hope that it kind of crossed out my action.
So we could, what we could do is wordsmith it and take these and some other things that we have to do as a committee to meet our goals and put it into an actual action plan. I mean, one of our goals is to have an action plan related to the survey, but I don't see why we can't just combine it. It doesn't have to be a big complicated document or anything, but I'd like us to, you know, list out what we're gonna do to achieve X, Y, and Z goals, projections of when we're gonna get it done. Does it sound right? I don't know. I feel like the more direction we can give ourselves, the more structured and more effective we're gonna be and helpful to Chief and everybody else.
And so, to be, so that I'm clear, you're talking about taking the two pages, that currently is titled Community Survey Action Plan.
Yeah.
And the page behind that called the Police Advisory that has our goals on it. And having a small group of folks talk about that, put together a list, bring it back and have discussion around that list, see if there's any additions or changes to that at the next meeting. Would make sense to me.
Because like Rick said, it's not really an action plan, it's recommendations. But it's got items for an action plan all through it. Who's willing to do it?
I can do it.
I guess there can only be two of us, is that right?
As long as there's no quorum, you can have under six.
Okay, so I'll do it too, but you know, we need help. Has anybody written one before?
No.
An action, well, it's like writing a mission statement, I know, everybody dreads it, but. Would you?
Sure.
I think we could get it done pretty quickly. Especially taking the goals.
Right.
Putting some of those things in there. It's just that we've been focusing on the questionnaire for so long because we've had to. Now we need to do some other stuff. Okay.
And you'll.
So the three of us?
All right.
Anybody else?
Yeah.
Pressure. We could do it.
Can I make a comment?
Yes, please.
Great idea. I really like it when you guys start talking about, you know, quantifiable and then, you know, not just that it's a statement, but there's a quantifiable statement and that there's a target date. And then you guys have used the word several times and I'd just like to remind you, the Police Advisory Committee is advisory, so they can't provide direction or anything like that. And these are recommendations that this group wants to come forward with, you know, to the council based on the survey and your guys' input, who you represent. I think even because a lot of these things are that are listed on here are already in process through one division of the city. Council may already even have a few of these, but again, some of these also may have hit roadblocks. You know, we've identified city to designate strict areas for areas for camping, period. And now we're like, now what do we do? And so there's a lot of great ideas, but the action plan of how do we achieve it? How do we get there? What steps do we actually take? Is this going to cost anything? This is where we're starting to really struggle. We have great ideas, now they follow through and the implementation.
I think a big part of it is taking the goals and then how do we reach those goals?
I think so too.
And that we take to be able to reach those.
That's key.
Then putting some dates to it.
A couple of the things on here, we do have answers to, and I wonder if it would be valuable to maybe take off what we right now can't do. And for example, this just came up, the piece about using cameras at key intersections, or we just extended a contract, or we just signed on with a new contract for like 911 services that are not local. So I just wonder about some of those things, but some things are, you know, happening where, I saw something else in here that I was gonna bring up, but I just wonder, would that be valuable to, the community service officer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know if it makes sense to.
Well, just remember, please remember that this is an old document. Rick had done this before the last meeting. And there have been.
And we've already listened to you, and so we're already making things happen.
No, but a lot of these we've already, you know, disregarded or whatever, because.
This is probably for my own peace of mind, because things seem to me a little scattered.
Yeah.
I mean, we had some stuff here, we had some stuff there, some over here, some over there. So for me, it helps if I put things into perspective.
And, you know, the action plan would not have every single one of these things in it, for sure. Maybe five or six, I don't know, you know, after we've already, you know, we're making two recommendations to the city council.
And I'm not sure how many, you know, you talk action plan recommendations. You know, so I, you know, my mind, and I probably should have used the right term from the get-go.
Look what you've done.
You know, I was kind of in a hurry when I first did it. But yeah, it's, I would see most of these as mere we took a survey. We dissected the survey, and then we come out of the survey, and the public knows that we're making recommendations in the things that they said. And some of them potentially could be action plans, but again, it's up to the council whether or not they want to move forward, or they are doing it already, or you know, whatever. So I guess I was seeing it that way.
Okay, so we'll contact each other and get together, hopefully, well, for sure, before the next meeting, so we can have something to show everybody. Yes.
And kind of addressing what CM was talking about, I think it may be a good idea to put the things that are impossible, that we want, like the traffic cameras or things that we know that can't be done, still put them in as a recommendation, but say, we know we can't do this because of such and such, but it's still a recommendation. We still, as this committee, think that it's an important matter for our community.
Mm-hmm.
And even though we're stopped from some other method of having that accomplished, that doesn't interfere with us thinking that it's important.
And
it just
affects
us not being able to accomplish it, but it still makes it important for us.
And
right.
Just to piggyback, it's again, we're kind of the voice of the public out there. And so this is kind of what we're taking from them, the things that they're saying, and just bringing it forward. So we're kind of the voice of the folks out there. Versus, you know, making decisions or policy or whatever. Just kind of taking what, you know, the things that they said and bringing it forward.
Along with what you were saying, I think we're doing that with one of the things we're recommending two things to City Council next meeting. And which one was it? That's, you know, it's kind of almost impossible. But the point was the City Council needs to know that the community think this is important and maybe work on ways that it can work. Not just roadblocks.
Red light cameras, multidisciplinary response to mental health, and it's on the tip of my tongue.
And it's,
Patty probably knows.
Is it 911?
911. There we go.
Yeah, that was the one that I'm thinking of, 911. It sounds like it's not really feasible financially. Maybe, maybe not, but the idea was for us to express it to City Council. This,
right.
We feel that this is important to the community because they've told us it is.
Okay. What if you
find a way to make it work.
Make it a priority.
Make it
a priority. I was going to ask CM, who did the city contract with for the 911 again?
I think it's the same people in the Willamette Valley.
It's just an updated, it didn't extend the, it cleaned up some language.
Okay.
Just to be, we've been with them long enough, there's been some changes within both organizations, and it just ratified all that.
Isn't it now under fire or something? Or it's now under police? I can't remember.
It used to be under the guidance and leadership of Salem Police, now it's Salem Fire.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, new director.
Maybe it'll be better.
Look at him not saying anything.
I know. Yeah. I love the look. Should we just write into our Sam and I worked on our, you know, I'm going to say 90% of this was Sam. I just said, go for it. I'm here to, you know, to help and whatever. But I wish he was here to take credit for this thing because he deserves it. But he wrote, we talked about should we do this with PowerPoint, should we have documents in the packet, should we, he was talking about, well, he talked to his mom about ways that this might look for us the best way. And finally, he decided, and I agree, just notes is probably good enough. You're shaking your head, yes, right? So, the this is the notes. He wanted me to read it to you guys. I'm gonna read it kind of slowly, because what we're looking for is comments, suggestions, stuff we can take out. It's just a draft, but I'm gonna read it as if you guys were city council. See, so, well, I mean, so then you can, okay. So it's to the Newport City Council and city manager from us dated regarding the questionnaire debrief and recommendations to council. So background, in, and this is a thing we need to fill in, 2020, the Police Advisory Committee distributed a community survey. I don't remember the timeframe for that, but we'll get it. Asking the public a variety of questions regarding their perceived safety in Newport, their opinions on and experiences with the effectiveness of Newport Police Department, any recommendations they had on ways to improve policy and practice, as well as a section for additional comments for the committee. We received X number of responses, which we couldn't remember how many exactly, with 82 of them containing additional comments and solution ideas. This was a lot of information, so we began taking steps to narrow down the next actions. Well, I'll stop with that paragraph and see if any reactions to that from, okay. We sorted the comments into a handful of categories with a list of suggested solutions under each one. From there, we worked with Chief Malloy to determine which items were inactionable, parentheses, due to lack of staffing, procedures that are the decision of an external organization, things the police department is already doing, et cetera. We were left with a few remaining actionable items, and from those selected the two that we believe are the most important and possible. Recommendation number one, the first thing we as a committee would like to recommend action on is a revival of the multidisciplinary response team, which works with the police department but is not part of the department. A smaller version of this team existed pre-pandemic and was made up of mental health professionals. This team would help the understaffed police department as they wouldn't have to respond to calls about people facing mental health crisis, which also prevents the officers from being placed in situations for which they are inadequately trained. We believe that this action would improve relations between the community and police, and the public seems to agree based on the number of comments regarding this issue.
What jumps out at me, I'm not sure if officers are inadequately trained versus, you know, professionally trained. I think if I'm wrong, you tell me. I think they're trained a lot in that category.
It's not inadequate.
It's not, you know, a 4-year degree.
Right.
Misplaced training.
Yeah.
Mental health is different than law enforcement.
And we don't expect them to be psychologists. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So inadequate is definitely not the right word.
I think something like while officers have some, while officers have some training in mental health response, they are not mental health professionals.
Right.
There may be more trained professionals in our community and other agencies to respond.
Okay.
Thank you, Rick. That was the one word I caught on. I was like, wow.
I missed it. What did you say?
Mean.
Specialized skills in the community or in other agencies. Chief Malloy, when did they come up with that stepping up? They were talking about having those multidisciplinary teams in. Is there verbiage from that that's the same as what we're trying to get to here?
And I guess because this is a tough one all around, because this was, you know, took an entire village. The county was the one that actually hired the positions. The county is the one that actually had the funding for it. And then a variety of windfall things happen and we don't have it, you know. And so, but again, the county received, was 100% of the funding. So the other cities didn't contribute for it. They didn't plan for it. They didn't come up with funding, you know, to make it either sustainable or something. So there is language, but boy, that whole Stepping Up initiative, there's a lot of documents in that.
So I thought.
And I was gonna bring this up a little bit later as a different point. But isn't there a mental health crisis program now that they can be called and ride along with officers to handle?
No. We do have, Lincoln County does have mental health crisis workers. They do have workers on call. They do have workers that respond. And I can, my guess is that when this is presented, our council will have questions. And they will ask, what are we doing now? You know, what are our resources? And so I will make sure I am well-versed prior to this meeting for when those things do come up to, this is what's in place. Not what used to be, not what's gonna happen, but this is what we have today.
I do have a couple of follow-up questions related to that piece. Are the mental health folks who are on call, are they on call 24/7?
Yes.
And the other thing I think that we'll meet with some questions are the piece about in lieu of law enforcement, that mental health folks would go. And so who's making that assessment? Because it's very subjective, right? And so if it's a mental health person showing up, but it really should have been law enforcement, like how is that piece gonna be just refined? Or maybe it isn't gonna be refined. Maybe that's, that's hard. Like someone says, I think someone's experiencing a mental health crisis, but you don't know if they like have a weapon on them or what, you know, like that's the piece I'm a little bit fuzzy about.
Isn't the idea that both show up?
Well, those are protocol questions. And in a perfect world, you have both. You have a police officer and a mental health professional working together. And then whoever has the expertise for that particular call is one that's gonna go. And when we had this active with the mobile crisis unit, it was based on the type of call, you know, would you send that car that had that more resources to that call? I could respond to a call and then request that unit if they were on duty. So those are more protocol questions that CM's talking about. And those are things, the same things we talked about, because there's that, Eugene has, and that was a question that came up when that was started was, well, why would you go take these people that are not police officer trained and send them into a police officer situation? Conversely, we're taking police officers, putting them in a place that they're not equipped to handle. And so there's a lot of working together there. But they also have the funding, the ability to send multiple people. They don't send one mental health professional. They work in teams.
If only.
If only.
If only.
There's a lot of if onlys.
Yeah.
Any little thing we can do, though, I think is better than what we've got. All right, recommendation number two. Second thing we would like to recommend based on the survey's responses is moving the 911 call center back to Newport. We, parentheses, and the community respondents, believe this step would significantly smooth out the process of calling 911 because the dispatchers in Salem are not local and therefore do not know the area or helpful landmarks, which slows response time. Additionally, the center has a detailed set of questions they must ask, which takes a long time, and many of them are not relevant. The local officers dislike the current system, and it makes the public less safe. Chief Malloy has voiced his agreement in favor of both of these recommendations at our committee meetings many times as well. I'm not sure about that, but. Okay.
If they pressure me, I'll be like.
I'm assuming that's the general thinking as far as other police officers that 911, because I don't want to, you know, take something, you know, and assume that they're thinking that.
We share frustrations.
I've heard them.
We share the similar frustrations that our public has. We had frustrations prior to with our previous dispatch. So is there a perfect answer?
Would it be possible to gather statistics for a period of time and say what the specific instances of problems are? I mean, I know we can say, you know, we don't like it, we've had trouble, this has been bad, we can cite one incident or something. But can we track it for a period of time and say, you know, here's where we got a call, we were supposed to do some X, Y, Z, and it turned out to be totally different. Can you track, is it hard to track the problems specifically?
If we started today, and we're like, in a put out something to the officers, I need you to track whenever there's an error, whenever there's a, you went to the wrong thing, whatever. That's easier to track, but now retroactively going back.
No, I'm just talking about something current.
Right, but we could give lots, there is a ton of examples. I mean, so we have people that call that complain about excessive wait times. We have people that call about, I called and nobody ever showed up. And, you know, so then.
Personal experience was, where's Agate Beach?
You know, and then we get the people that get.
Exactly, where's the high school?
That get the 29 questions and they know the answer to one. So there's a lot of protocol things in there and, you know, but some of these things may also be as simple, I don't want to oversimplify this, but maybe the Willamette Valley Director come over and hear these type of things, or this report goes to the Willamette Valley Director and say, this is what our community's saying, what can you do to help? So, you know, that, I don't think that's been done.
No, it hasn't.
Early on, we did have, I know that our, the director, I think, did come over to a council work session.
Once.
And got to hear some of the complaints and things like that, and that's where it went. You know, so a lot of stuff is protocol issues. Certain things we can change, but certain things are a group decision. So it has to affect all of Willamette Valley, not just Hallie Dispatch for Lincoln County.
I think that's a great idea to invite them.
But again, this is a great start, because you get to go to the council saying, our people have spoken. This is, you know, out of that entire survey and all the answers people had to come up with, and you've narrowed it down to just a couple consistent things, I mean, that's pretty good information of ammo.
Do you have a budget figure for what you pay for that?
I do.
Okay, that would be good to include in that.
Back 5 or so years?
I can give you every penny.
Thank you.
Look at trends and stuff.
And so, Mindy, if you and Sam need more information, email me, email Patty.
Okay.
And we can get you, because we have lots of reports that have gone to the council already. So we have the dates that it went out, the number of responses.
Okay.
If you're interested in how much, you know, by the way, this is how much the city pays for dispatch services. Because it's not just police, it's also fire.
But you would have that on hand too at the meeting, right? Yeah, please send it to me. Me and Sam. Okay, his final paragraph was, we are happy to meet with council in a work session or any other appropriate venue to discuss the contents of this memo. The committee is excited about the progress that has been made in the past few months, and we look forward to working with staff, council, and community partners to improve police community relations and achieve the committee goals moving forward. So, yes.
I read the report. I sought it out and looked it over. There's a lot of good things that are said in this report. And I don't know if that's being recognized somewhere. And I think it's important that in that language, we have something that says improved. Can we add a word called or maintain the value that we have? Because I hate to see the police department beat down in a survey like this, where we're not giving credit where credit is deserved. I mean, I was pleasantly surprised on all of the positive comments that were made about the police department. So I think we should consider that.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Give me some words that I could put in.
Maintain.
How would you put that?
Mm-hmm.
But where?
Well, you said something about where the last paragraph, to improve or maintain good.
Oh, improve.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
Improve and maintain
okay.
good
right.
relations.
Right.
Or positive relations or something
yeah.
along that. I hate to see them beat up. This is not an easy job.
I agree.
Oh.
I think one of the things that caught my attention, and I've mentioned this, I think, a time or two, is maybe on the lead-in, something similar to, you know, there was 182 responses or 212, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, 86% of the responses were positive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so I think indicating the fact that there was a very good, you know, but we don't fix something that's not broken. There's,
mm-hmm.
you know, people don't do that. Yes, you acknowledge it, you recognize it, and then segue into of the recommended comments or suggestions for improvement, you know, these were the areas. And I guess that, what Lonnie says is, hey, look, overall, yeah, pretty happy, doing a good job, but we get these things over here, maybe that 86 goes up to ninety-something.
Well, we're not perfect. We have some places to improve, but by golly, we're doing a good job.
I guess that's a takeaway.
Okay. Good with everybody? Didn't he do a great job?
Yes.
And Mindy, so the goal of this is the first meeting in September, so September 6th? The Tuesday?
No. Not the first, the second meeting. I don't think.
So I won't be at the second meeting. Lieutenant Gainer will be, and he is fully capable of responding to anything. But I also hate to send him in blind to the, he covers a couple of meetings for me, and this is one that could be relatively big, so.
What's the date of the first one?
I think it's the 6th.
The 6th.
It's a Tuesday. And this agenda item will be somewhere near the middle of the agenda, because it usually comes under a communication, which is well into the meeting, so you are gonna be here for a little bit, waiting your turn.
There's something about the 6th that Sam couldn't do or something? No?
I don't remember.
I don't remember about soccer.
He had a few soccer conflicts.
Something.
I think so too.
The one thing I just, we had brought it up at a previous meeting, I don't know which meeting, but just the infrastructure support for setting up our own 911 call center seemed cost prohibitive. And that how we would have to like go about that. You know, I, it's not an either or, it's not a committee this or over that, but like I would rather have a fully staffed police force and community service officer team, you know? If I had to like pick and choose, I, but I'm going from what Chief Malloy said about that, like that it would be a lot of infrastructure to establish that here locally and just very costly. So how can we, is there, are there some ways that, you know, I wanna also give credit to the report that was put together. But I think that that's a, that's something that's like maybe longer term to like think about if that is something that to have happen, you know, to budget for and prepare for. And I don't know when that timeline is, if we've got the contract under Salem Fire, how long, you know, just something to think about.
Sam brings a great point, but also you're bringing this up that this maybe forces or encourages a conversation with, look, our community isn't super happy with the service we're getting. Yeah, we can't afford the millions of dollars to branch out and try something new, but it does start that conversation with Willamette Valley or even their leadership to, look, this is what our community's saying, what can you do to help? And so, while yes, dollar-wise prohibitive, but it still could get a result.
This is for you, Chief, and I can't remember, what was the organization before?
Lincom.
That's what I thought, and it, I remember when the transition took place, not a happy time.
Yeah, we didn't leave the current dispatch system because it was doing well. You know, there was infrastructure issues, there was more budget issues, there was performance issues, there was management issues, you know, so there was, it made it easy to transition to Willamette Valley that was a very large organization with great infrastructure and great administration and management. And then we identified new problems, you know, so, yeah, it wasn't that our own local dispatch was our savior.
Yeah, and then I also thought back in the windmills of my mind that the, there was supposed to be more of an integration of our people into the Salem. In other words, that knew the geography of this place and had the background. But somehow, if I remember correctly, that fell through or they didn't last or I don't know the rest of the story.
Well, it's been, what, 10 years?
Yeah.
I think that we've been with Willamette Valley, and so they did adopt a lot of the Lincom personnel. But they've retired, they've moved on, they've went to different jobs. So there are still, I know one that is still there, maybe two.
Yeah.
But like anything, they move on, so.
Well, maybe there needs to be, I don't know, some way of integrating this better into their system.
They gotta come out and do a field trip, you're right.
Right.
They gotta come see it, like, what our community is like, so when people are saying, where is that, you know, Agate Beach?
One would hope over the 10 years, technology has changed enough that maybe, of course, obviously with the pandemic, everybody's had to learn remote, but there might be some capabilities to integrate something local with what they have, so that we could have some local input.
Right.
But, you know, who knows if that's possible.
What do they use?
What's that?
What do they use for GNR?
It's pretty sophisticated, go ahead, John.
What do they use for what?
What do they use for the 911 center?
Yeah, to, for location here. Google Maps, I mean, what do they use?
No, they have their own maps, they have their own, they have their own GIS staff.
They're not paper now, right, they're not paper maps.
No, no, they have a very, very sophisticated, and you know, and this, maybe that's one of the things, if the advisory committee ever wants to take a field trip. And it's impressive, you know, the system they have, the technology they have, the, some of the head shaking, it'll be like, holy cow, I did not realize this. And then just looking at the sheer volume of things going on in there, you know, bells and whistles and phones and a zillion things going on with a few people doing it. So it is one of those things that, you know, we complain about, but I also have a ton of respect for, because I couldn't imagine doing that. And seeing what it is they do is impressive. The technology side of things.
If they wanna go, I'd love to do that.
The technology side of things, boy, I couldn't even begin to explain it.
So I understand they're asking, where is Agate Beach? Okay.
Yeah, I should, I'd love to coordinate a trip over there so that we could see it, that would just be great, I think.
Right.
If people had time and inclination, it would, you know, I spent some time in one myself, not much, but certainly a shift, a half of a shift. It's remarkable, I had no idea.
So if you guys wanna do it, just keep your numbers under 5 and I will help facilitate it. Possibly even transport you over.
Wow.
Possible.
Awesome.
Can't commit to that yet.
No shackles though, right?
Right.
But it could be over 5 if it was announced, right?
You know.
Sorry.
You know those rules better than I do.
You know, I think you could. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think if it's advertised, yes.
Sure.
You know, but we could also do too, you know, so, again, you guys wanted to make something happen, we'll try to facilitate it.
Would the sheriff's committee have an interest in doing the same thing, and we could, I mean, there would be enough of us to go to?
They may, I'll talk to the sheriff, I mean, they have a similar group doing the same thing, so.
One thing that Sam and I had talked about is meeting with the sheriff maybe, or before, talking about the multidisciplinary response team, before the presentation, I don't know.
The sheriff is the one, I mean, he is, yeah. He is very versed, he is very knowledgeable. He would bring the correct staff to talk about this. I don't wanna speak for the sheriff, but you know, if he's available, I know he attends these things. He wants to get the word out and he wants to answer questions. So I'm sure we could probably put him on as a guest speaker, or you could grill him.
Well, he did come and talk to us that one time. I'm just thinking more as like a, not exactly a courtesy, but to talk to him before we do the recommendation to city council. Just maybe Sam or a couple of us or something. I don't know.
Or if you guys wanna see if he was available for the next meeting, the end of September.
Wouldn't their department have those same issues with the multidisciplinary response and the 911 issue would be the same things for them?
My pain is increasing here. Why is there no collaboration between Newport City and Lincoln County law enforcement?
Well, you probably have a lot of collaboration.
Okay.
No, yeah, we have a ton.
Okay.
We do a lot of things together. I mean, we share a lot of things. We share a lot of resources, you know, whether it's our records management system or whatever. We collaborate a lot because individually we can't do something by ourselves. We need the partners, whether it's budget, personnel. I mean, our whole county works really well together in law enforcement. I can't say enough nice things about Lincoln County law enforcement and our ability to come together when something needs to get done.
So they have a committee like this? For yep. Lincoln County?
The sheriff's office does, yeah.
That's bizarre only to me then, right? Okay.
Hmm. We could have a liaison from their committee to here.
And vice versa.
Vice versa.
We could just do that, right? Just.
Your committee.
I mean, they're public meetings, you know.
Yeah, and they could say, well, we were already in that.
I know one person on that committee.
I don't know anyone.
For knowledge, we could rotate.
Yeah.
Each of us take a turn and go over to their meeting and vice versa. I mean, I don't know. Seems to me that we should, we would be familiar with the same kind of issues, because we're probably all talking about the same thing.
I wonder who the chair is.
I don't know if they, I don't know if theirs is, I think theirs started out more kind of like our, geez, it escapes me, I haven't done one for a couple of years, the training you went through.
The Citizen Police Academy?
Citizen Police, so they have a Citizen Advisory Committee that started off like that, and I think it morphed into an actual advisory committee instead of just, here's what the sheriff's office does. So I think they're able to, they provide input and feedback.
Somehow we'll make that happen, because it's, I feel like it's important.
I do too.
And those are public.
Absolutely have to let the sheriff know the results of our, you know, our questionnaire and survey, so he can be ready for some of those questions at the.
So I don't know if you want to continue to prolong this, but would it be better to have him come to address the whole committee at the, I just asked him if he's available at the September meeting? Or he also has, possibly his lieutenant could come, that's been part of that also. And then maybe shoot for the October meeting to present. Or you could add another section, we met with the county.
I like that idea. There's something in my mind too that says that Sam can't come to the.
I remember soccer conflicts, I just don't remember which ones.
Yeah, I can't, I don't remember which dates, but I know he was like, oh, wait, that's a.
But that makes so much more sense, because then we would be better prepared to present.
I also really, I'm disappointed that the public safety fee a couple of years ago that was attempted to be passed didn't pass. And maybe we could talk about, like, if we have some ideas about what we want to fund for the police here, what lessons were learned from it not passing, like, that we could maybe think about how we could maybe get that through in another election cycle down the road to fund it and really get community buy-in around that.
The sheriff is available on the 28th and has added it to his calendar.
Raymond Woodruff is the chairman of the, from Walport, is the chairman of the sheriff advisory committee.
Oh, that's Susan's husband?
Just realized both the mayor and I are gone that week.
Perfect time to have. The alternative?
Fine.
The alternative alternative?
The alternative, I'd love to figure that out.
I think that's a great idea. Just that way you can say that you've had that input, and then maybe he can share some insight too that I'm not aware of.
Okay.
Support your idea, or, you know, go. It's a great thing, the sheriff will tell you, so.
That's good.
Yep.
That's what we need to hear. Okay, moving along. Agenda. Reviewing our goals. Which I think is a really good idea, and it's especially important now that we've got new members. And I don't think we've really reviewed the goals since we started, actually, reviewed the goals. We've accomplished some of them, but I, you guys have it in your packets. It's this thing.
Okay, I'll be back in a few. Just have to jump out of the meeting.
So, I mean, we can go right down them. I think it's worth the time to do that, as long as we can kind of do it quickly. But the complete analyze, develop, and recommend an action plan from the results of the community police survey. I think that's what we're going to accomplish.
Right.
Sooner. Hold a public meeting to solicit public input regarding police services, conduct, and programs. Now, I assume we're talking about the meeting, the event.
That's the goal for this winter.
Yeah. Did you, is there a month?
I like January. Holidays are over. Kind of a lull season.
As long as you make it cozy.
That's what we did the last time, was Januarys.
Okay. So check that one. Review the resident complaint process protocols. That's something that we haven't done, that needs to go in the action plan. You know, and that was one of the things that came up in the questionnaire. People were wanting to know, well, what happens if I complain? Never hear anything, or whatever. We need to review those protocols. Recommendations to build trust, transparency, and responsiveness. Staff a booth at community events, such as the county fair, National Night Out. We're doing that, and we need to continue to create a brochure. Got it? Participate in training to learn about policing procedure. I'm not sure what that means exactly, for us to participate in training to learn about policing procedures.
What was that community, would you call it a community policing training?
Well, there's a variety of things. So we have a Citizens Academy that we, as was, we haven't done for a while. COVID put a big strain on us. But prior to that, it'd been about a year before we did one. And there's usually, what we do is it's usually around a 10-week program, and it runs through, just about all of our staff go through, our staff teach it, and we just teach you about our department. And so we'll talk about what it takes to be a police officer, then we go through just different divisions, so you're aware of what each division does, kind of how they do things. We don't really divulge any top secret stuff. But it's just more of a, this is your police department 101, and it's been real beneficial. It's went through it, as usually comes out of it saying, I did not know.
So for us to attend that training would be great.
But I think the other thing, this is all like Keith at the last meeting said, hey, I want to know about, you know, what do police officers get trained in, and what is the ongoing?
Thank you for that.
And which we'll cover when I get to my report. But, you know, Rick's mentioned things before. And so if you guys have something, give me enough notice, I'll put something together, which usually is going to include our policy, our how-tos, our whys, you know, things like that. Laws, whatever that governs why or how we do something. And I think that could be, fulfill a lot of that knowledge.
Instead of the Citizens Academy?
Oh, no, I think you'd love the Citizens Academy if you haven't been through it. It's just, it's 1 week a month, it's a couple hours a day. It's really informative, and you get to meet all of our staff. So.
When does that happen?
We haven't scheduled one.
When can we schedule that?
Well.
We're going to put it in our action plan.
All right.
Yeah, it's.
As a recommendation.
Right.
Is, I would love to have one all the time, but it does take a village to put it on, and our village is really small right now. So we have, our officers are really spread pretty thin, and then having them come in on their time off to do something extra like that, it's got to be calculated.
So a little bit down the road.
Sure.
When staffing's increase. Promote public awareness of the city's police services and programs, including but not limited to business and residential crime prevention programs, safety, training, and domestic violence intervention. Now that's, you know, that's something that we really need to kind of get a grip on.
Protocols first, the policy.
Yeah. But the first part of that is promote public awareness of. I guess we don't, I mean, I don't want us to have to be, I mean, go on and on about this right now. That's not the point of us reviewing it, but just to be aware. That's one of the things that we have to do. And how to do that, well, we can talk about that. I'm sure there's a few ways to accomplish that.
Or augment what's already in place.
Right. It'll be, well, we'll go on.
Well, I think
say it anyway. It would be hard for us to promote public awareness of domestic violence intervention. Obviously, we don't, that's not what we know about or.
No, but if we're doing something or have any program, then you guys just help share the word.
Oh, I see, okay.
The police department offers this service.
Right.
And you guys help spread that word.
Okay.
That's what I was saying.
Did you know, fill in the blank?
Okay.
And potentially, I don't know if you have any brochures or something, but, you know, a national night out, I mean, we could promote police types of things.
Right.
You know. Through that venue also.
How to not be a victim of identity theft, you know, the traffic safety, wearing helmets. Yes, we have a ton of brochures and we have access to a lot of information that we randomly put out and spotlight throughout the year.
And so what our job is to help you, put it out and spotlight.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Is there certain times of the year that you put certain information out to spotlight or just whenever?
Yeah, you know, it's so, the holiday season, we really put a lot of personal safety stuff out there, how to protect, you know, your home and your Christmas presents. And because people have a lot more valuables in their car from shopping or, you know, their house looks really valuable when they have their windows and their tree open and their zillions of presents, you know. And so we put out more information there. Beginning of the summertime, we do a lot more traffic safety stuff, the beginning of school stuff. Beginning of school year, we start putting out more traffic safety, pedestrian safety, bike safety. So we try to make it coordinate with the time of year. And most of the stuff we do is usually through social media.
Okay. Thank you.
Review police activity at school district schools. So that's something that's down the road, and that'll be a lot of information from Susan on that and what that entails, but reminder that's something that we need to do. Available resource and alternative to police response to schools. Review school district police and community programming. These are all down the road, obviously, when school gets started.
We skip over the review officer orientation and yearly supplement. It looks like.
Yeah, it's formatted weird.
It's formatted weird. That's why. Okay.
Okay. Review police response to mental health crisis in schools and in the community. Explore feasibility of reestablishing a collaborative response unit. That's what we're talking about.
And maybe for the members that weren't here when this was created, these were the goals that went to the city council. Each advisory committee is tasked with coming up with their goals that they want to for the fiscal year. And so these are the goals that this group put together that I sent in to the council and said, this is the goal for the committee this fiscal year. This is what they want to come accomplish by June, the end of June. So you do have a timeline. But a lot of the stuff is in process, going.
And it'll be ongoing after June. Mm-hmm.
But then you'll have new goals.
Anybody else have any comments about goals? I really like the idea of connecting our actions with the goals that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Directly. Action plan.
We identified some actions tonight.
Mm-hmm. I think we're doing really well with the goals in spite of not really looking at them. Okay, the goals. The brochure is next on the agenda.
Here, but we don't have the police department ex officio member listed as a member. And I think we should. I mean, you play a big part in just like the liaison, council liaison. And it's kind of mentioned down here, but it's kind of buried in the paragraph. So my thought would be to have you actually listed, or not you specifically, but the police department listed as that member.
Yeah.
So chief of police and council.
Wouldn't be chief of police. It would be listed like it is down here in this paragraph, Newport Police Department. Ex officio member.
And then city council also.
Yeah, and the city council was added.
It's there.
Okay.
Yeah.
We can add that.
It's a good thought.
I have one thing about under purposes and objectives, down in the examples and topics, but are not limited to, it starts with community policing policy. I would like it to say just equity rather than racial equity, because I think what we're looking for, department, city, everybody else is equity, not just racial.
Equity and inclusion.
Equity and inclusion.
Yeah.
Yeah, or inclusion, equity.
Right, that's a good point.
Well, there's three that go together. It's usually diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Can I just ask a question, because we're looking at these, I just don't know. What's our policy on homelessness, on people living in their vehicles on our streets? What is our policy?
That's not a simple answer.
Good question.
Yeah,
not simple.
That is a great question. And so we are bound in ultimately by federal court rulings, state rulings, recent house bills, recent state laws, things like that. And so it is really difficult for us to govern public property unless we have these other systems in place. There is a new, so the city council, the city has a camping ordinance that we have ultimately, it's null and void because it's not current with current laws. So it's ultimately, it's unenforceable. Sections of it are unconstitutional. There is a new one that has gone to the council several times over the last 2 years. There's been a lot of changes, a lot of updates, and the final draft is going, I don't want to say final draft, it's actually scheduled for a public hearing, I believe, at one of the September meetings. So it's coming, and it does have more regulation in it, but again, we can't stop it, so.
Okay, just curious.
That's a tough one to answer.
There's a document that I saw put out by Legal Aid of Oregon that spells out a person's right to sleep and camp on public property. I was shocked to see it, shocked to read it, but it's the law.
And it's actually based on a federal court ruling from a few years ago. So it's just taking us a while to catch up. How do you write laws, ordinances, and rules, you know, that are in compliance with that? And then Oregon took a couple steps further and actually enacted a couple laws this last legislative session that addressed that.
There is a policy, homeless persons, 460. I don't know what that is.
It's our response to them, and the fact that we're going to treat them with dignity, and we're going to ensure their rights, and it's mostly our response to them. It's not enforcement of them.
So Patty, what would you like us to do regarding the brochure as far as changes? I mean, you said that you had a few available in this form. The changes we're talking about aren't huge, hugely major, but anyway, go ahead.
It's a few. The only ones I have are what's on the table there. I can destroy those and have Kit do the edits, and I can print out more and then have them ready for your next meeting, so you can each take some questions you can hand out, or you can take those. I will still have Kit do the edit for the reprints, so whichever you prefer.
And once this is finalized, we will also produce them in Spanish.
Good, okay.
I have one more, and per usual, you know. And I don't know if it's my mind, or, so I'll just bring it up under the lighthouse section. It just kind of hits me differently. It says more transparency from the police department, which would indicate to me that there's not some transparency. So I don't know, maybe if we want to put maybe just transparency?
Don't you think that's just saying what our committee would do is provide more transparency? That's the intent of our committee, is to provide. If we didn't have this committee, how would the police department communicate with their citizens?
I don't know, it's just me, like I said.
I like it more, but that's okay. Facilitate transparency from the police department?
Yeah, the more just kind of should be, you know.
I like that.
I kind of think the, but, you know, the devil's advocate at times, you know, okay, more, so that means there must be.
Less.
You know.
How would you mean for substituting the word more, but the word facilitate?
That would be fine, you know, improve, facilitate.
Facilitate, improve.
What do I need a word?
Facilitate.
Facilitate.
It's the majority I heard.
Yes.
I'll put it away.
Okay.
So how should we proceed? I will have Kit make the final edits and then present it next meeting?
Sounds good.
Final approval?
And I guess.
I think this is final approval.
I think it is final approval.
With the edits.
One of the things that I changed on there was, there was the original one that came out, I think before you guys saw it, had a lot of pictures of police doing police things. And I was like, well, we do that for our stuff. And, you know, while this group is, supports the police department, supports the efforts, things like that, it's also its own standalone neutral committee. And so I did have Kit take those out and put in just some generic Newport photos. And so if you were wondering why there's the pictures of school cops and cop cars, that's why.
Right.
But if you want those in there, if you want those, we like lights, we like cars.
And all kinds of toys.
You like your cruisers.
Yes.
Yeah. And the dog.
Yeah, the dog.
Okay, moving on, monthly stats. Comments about those questions?
Well, I had a comment about, that's, I don't know if this is just seasonal or what's going on, but the, quite a, I guess a 25% jump in theft. Is it just that more is being reported, or some trend or something happened? What happened?
A lot of it's seasonal. You know, we are in our busy season, but there is a lot more being reported. It's also, I think it's a combination.
Oh, and the one I noticed was animal problem. What, from 29, it's up to 29? Is that the same thing, tourists, dogs?
We get a lot of dogs locked in a car on the bayfront calls.
A lot of what, I'm sorry?
Dogs locked in a car.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
We get a lot of those, and we also get a lot of missing dogs. Dogs run off, and people call and report, my dog ran off.
That's what I kind of thought.
All right, 911 call.
To some people.
What is fail, the TCD, on fail to obey TCD?
Traffic control device, stop light, stop sign.
Yeah.
Other questions? Or chief, or that one? Good?
Director's report.
Excuse me, I did have one more question, I guess. Do we have an issue with stolen don't want to call those things on a car, the catalytic converters, do we have that, we have problems with that in our community?
We have had them, not like, you know, if you guys follow the news where there was millions of dollars.
Right.
But it has happened, I know it has happened within the county. I actually know somebody that it happened to right in their driveway, which is very brazen, but it does happen. And we've had stolen drive lines, you know, just parts taken right off the car.
Thanks.
So the direct, the only thing I was gonna cover in just a little bit, Keith had asked information about police officer training, and so this is just kind of the basics, so I won't spend hours on this. But all police officers in the state of Oregon that go to the academy attend the 640-hour academy, which is 16 weeks. And the topics here are broke down, you can see behavioral health. So I put the topic, the total hours that each officer gets, and then what the goal of that training is. Now, keep in mind, there is a 46-page document that actually breaks down what each of those hours are that I didn't want to do my part on the environment. But this is also something you can find on DPSST's website. And so that's the Police Academy's website. It is chock full of information. You can also just Google search, and this will pop up if you want to see any of the more specifics. The thing that we really focus a lot more on is because all of our officers have to go to the academy. And so then there's no other choice. When we hire a lateral officer, so if we were to hire an officer that's a sworn certified officer from another state, we will take their training record, send it over to the police academy. The police academy can look at it and say, yes, their training meets the minimum standards of ours. They'll waive the academy. And then we just send them to a 2-week career officer development course, which is where they just learn the Oregon way. But they don't have to relearn all that other stuff. So those are the two ways that you're going to get the basic training in Oregon. However, when I first started, I went to an 8-week academy that was 320 hours. So it was half of this. So pretty much if it said, well, it says 18 hours of behavioral health, I think we had like two. Things were different. And this is, the state does not take this lightly. They have work groups, they have committees, they have dozens of people that put together their curriculum, and it's constantly changing. And it's changed based on environment, changed based on need, based on our officers need more X. And so they'll add that, or they'll take away another section and add more, you know, maybe they add more diversity training and take away less traffic stop training. But you'll see that under skills is 207 hours. I mean, those are the physical skills you need to be a police officer. And so we just don't have them read a book on how to do a traffic stop or how to search a building. They physically go out and do it. Defensive tactics, they physically go out and go hands-on with each other, because we definitely want them to be familiar with it the first time they see it in real life on the street, not, well, I read a book and this is what it said is supposed to happen. You could imagine you would hate to do that. You learn jiu-jitsu by watching a video and then go get your butt kicked. So once they come to us, once they're certified, we have annual training. And these are state requirements. These are not Newport Police requirements. All police officers must be certified within 18 months of hire, which means that they've gone through the basic academy, they've gone through a field training program, and they've completed their field training manual, and they've been a cop at least 9 months. All of that has to happen before they can apply for certification, which is strictly up to the state. Obviously, if somebody can't, for whatever reason, make it to the academy, they can't complete their field training, they fail their field training, the state will not rubber stamp that. There's a lot of checks and balances, including my signature on all the applications that I confirm they've done all these things. So, and then these are what's required to be met. So they must be a police officer at an agency identified in DPST as having police officers. So you just can't make up your own police department. It has to be a legitimate police department that the state recognizes.
The Agate Beach Police Department.
Yeah.
But where is that?
So they've done the course, they've done the manual, they actually have a signed code of ethics on file, and they've completed first aid and adult child CPR certification. So those are required. So once you get that, now to keep your basic, intermediate, and advanced, there's three different levels of police officer certification. Everybody starts off with their basic, and the way you get your intermediate and advanced is based on your education and training and years of service. And so the higher degree you have, the less amount of years you need. The less degree you have, the more amount of years you need. The state has figured out if you have a master's degree, then you must be really smart and you can become an intermediate officer in 2 years versus the guy that doesn't have a degree that has to wait 7.
Oh, really?
I don't know why, we just agree with it.
Those of us as masters would agree with that.
Yes, yes, people have masters. I don't even know why you need to go to the academy.
Keith, they're looking for people, it's you.
Yeah, right.
So every year we have to document that each officer has 8 hours of use of force training. And now this doesn't have to be just time at the range, but this is firearms training, this is defensive tactics or taser training, a zillion different types of training. And there also has to be 1 hour of ethics training. That's new within the last 2 years. It used to only be the 8 hours use of force training, but they've added annually you have to have some kind of ethics training. And in this 3-year requirement, one of the new things now under a new House bill is airway circulation, anatomy, and physiology training. Mm-hmm. This is the, we don't choke people out anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be aware of why and how the body works and things like that. So they didn't just come out with a rule and say, no more choking people. You have to know this ACAB stuff also. 3 hours of mental health crisis intervention training. Again, this is something new that the state has required. And 84 hours of total training. So every 3 years, our officers have to have at least 84 hours of training. We far exceed this. This is a personal rule within the Newport Police Department. We are not going to do the minimum. So all of our officers receive way more than 84 hours every 3 years. If you're a supervisor, in addition, you have to have all of this plus 24 hours of leadership training every 3 years. So again, we far exceed that because we don't believe in the minimum standards. So, that's pretty much it. And there's 6 different levels of certification you can have. The basic, intermediate, and advanced are for the officer level. Once you get into supervision, there's a supervisor certificate, a management certificate, and an executive certificate. Again, those are based on your education, your years of service. Executive certificate, there is no in lieu of. You can't say I've been a cop for 46 years, I know it all, but I've never taken a college class. You actually have to have 90 credit hours. So you have to have 90 credit college hours and then meet all this other criteria. Same with management, there is no in lieu of. Same with supervisory, there is no in lieu of. So there has to be some kind of educational component. And I fully encourage this. If our officers do not have education, we offer for them take online classes. We'll pay for it. We'll offer duty time, whatever. We want to make sure our officers are advancing. Does them having an intermediate certificate make them a better police officer than a basic? No. But it also, they get paid for it. So if they have an intermediate, there's an incentive that they get paid for it. If they get their advanced, there's a pay incentive to it. But it makes you better because of the fact that you have more training, you know. And so our officers that are willing to get more education, get more training, put that effort in, we'll pay for that, we'll reward that. So this was the long answer to Keith's question.
Can I follow this with another one?
You follow it, whatever you want.
Can we get something like this, maybe just a simple one sheet of the specialized training that your officers have, if you have, like, thinking of like the canine specialist, like if you have an evidence specialist, if you have a drug specialist, if you have a whatever specialist, just tell us what the specialized training that our department has.
Yeah, because everybody's different. So like the majority of my career was traffic related and DUI related. And so I have a zillion hours of DUI enforcement training. Some of our officers have the basic minimum because it's not their specialty, but maybe they have a lot of tactical training.
Right.
We have officers that have a lot of crash training, you know, things like that. It's really, we want our officers to be diverse and not just do one thing. We'd like them to do a bunch of things really well. But if we have an officer that says, you know, I really want to specialize in this, we do everything we can to get them to those specialized schools, specialized trainings, to be an instructor in something. If we have our own instructors, it's cheaper on us. We can, they can then teach all of our staff instead of us having to send everybody to these different regional schools. So you can, it's all public record. You can go to DPSSD's website and look for the IRIS tab. I have no idea what IRIS stands for. But look for the IRIS tab and then you can type in Malloy. It'll pull me up. You can click on me and you can see every training I've ever done. You can see what my education is. You can see what my certifications are. And you can do that for any officer.
I guess I was just looking for the, our department, what the specialized.
I can throw together a summary, you know, because we have, you know, we may have an officer that has 4,000 hours of training in his career. And he changed specialties a couple times.
Sure.
You know, and so we'll kind of look at like our current staff and the recency of what they have above and beyond the basics. A lot of them are training. A lot of them are trainers. So we have a lot of trainers in our office. You know, we have our own defensive tactics instructors, which is a big school. You just don't, you know, you go to a school for 2 weeks and beat each other up to be able to come back to teach other officers, you know, how to defend themselves. So worst class in the world, just in case you're wondering.
This is good education for us because there were many in the questionnaire, many responses that were saying, what kind of training do they have? They need more training in, you know. And so it's good for us to know what kind of training there is. But
one of the things
that's going to be asked at the.
And I know that I think CM had asked when the law came out about the 3 hours of the health crisis training. Oh, the, you know, the diversity inclusion training. You know, DPSD said all officers are going to have this many hours every year, every 3 year cycle. We'll get back to you on what that means. And so they made the law, but they don't have a class. And so they're in process. They have a committee. They have a bunch of specialists and very smart people that are, you know, topic specific that are like, okay, this is the training we need to put together and then require all officers to attend. And I just read something. I was looking. I was like, I don't think I've seen that yet. And I was looking today that the committee's still working, and they're still identifying what that training is. So legislature, great idea. They just kind of put the cart in front of the horse a little bit on that one.
Thank you.
Anything else?
No, that's it.
How's hiring going?
Terrible. So we have... I'm losing track. We have currently 6 openings of our 23 sworn. We do have a couple more officers that are in background at other agencies. And, you know, officers leave for a variety of reasons. Officers leave for environment. Officers really like to leave for money. You know, it's right now you have the ability to keep your house, keep your spouse's job, keep your kids in a current school, drive a very short distance, and get a significant pay raise. And that's hard to fight. There are certain things, you know, other agencies that have different hours. They may offer a take-home vehicle. You know, there's certain things we can't compete with. We try to do the best we can with pay. We try to do the best we can with environment or specialties or, you know, what can we do to keep you here? And there are certain things we can't. And we cannot compete with that. The new officers, we were looking at salaries, just, you know, we used to look at, okay, we have to compete against Beaverton and Hillsborough, not anymore. Now we compete against the sheriff's office in Lincoln City and Toledo. And, you know, what do we have to offer that they don't? And we're kind of losing the battle a little bit. So there's been a lot of meetings with the city manager, a lot of meetings with HR on, you know, what can we do? And keep in mind, our officers are... governed or under a collective bargaining agreement. And so it's not like we can just, you know, Spencer can just wake up Monday and go, give everybody $1,000. So, which would be great.
Yes.
So there's a lot of steps that have to be done. But I know the city is not just ignoring this. We're having this problem citywide. It's not just within the police department. We have openings, 40 some openings throughout the city. You know, there were difficulty recruiting, but so is McDonald's and Walmart and Burger King. You know, everybody's struggling. So not to get on my soapbox or anything, but we do have officers leaving. We have minimal people applying. And when we do have people, we have very minimal people making it through our process. And we don't have a very rigid, super horrible process, but we have standards that we're not gonna lower and get the wrong people in here, so. Better bring up a sore subject.
Keith, what they're saying is you are eligible. They're saying the standards are low, is what, no, just kidding.
I've been there, done that for 30 years, I don't need to do it again.
I'm at 30, still going.
Okay.
Is there anything anybody wants for the next time? The sheriff is coming, so hopefully he's gonna take up a lot of your time with question and answer period. Hopefully you guys have really good questions and put him on the spot. I'll prep him that I, things I know you're gonna ask the best I can, but he's really good at coming up with things. So, but if there's anything else you want that I can prepare for you, send out to you. I've always wondered, fill in the blank, I can get you that.
Zoom, because we'll both be on East Coast time and I would join if we could Zoom it, but that would probably mean people being on the dais. You asked if there's anything, so.
I know that they still do, I mean, we at worst case scenario can put you in on a phone.
Yeah, that's fine.
And still be able to.
That's totally.
Can I ask, Zoom is possible, every meeting Travis and Richard ask if there's anyone coming in by Zoom, and I always say, no, I don't give them that option.
Yeah, so if you want, if you, yeah, if you want to, if you're gonna be traveling, you're like, boy, I don't want to let my people down. Just let Patty know and we'll make sure IT knows and then we'll see you up on the world and you'll see all of us, so we can make it happen.
Rick, what about your guests that might, maybe she could come?
I was waiting for committee comment. I was trying to be quiet for a change. Let somebody else talk.
Well, go ahead and.
Okay, actually I got a couple of things. So if we can just go right into that. I just want to mention that National Night Out was last month. We had a couple members at the booth. Esmeralda, she was a wonderful advocate for the ride along. There didn't one person that got by without getting you know the information on it. And some people sounded very interested in it. And it's the first time I've ever been to that function, and there was a lot of people, and it was very interesting. You know, if you got anybody hasn't been there, I would suggest that you go and then you know help out at the booth too. But yeah, that was I thought that was very successful. And the other thing that I had is I was talking to an individual that is a member of the mental health crisis team, and. In talking with her, and this is where I asked if they rode along. It sounded like they rode along with somebody. So I don't know if they ride along with county officers or not. But you know, and so that triggered my interest right away. And I tracked down her supervisor, who's the supervisor for the crisis center. And she is willing to come and give a presentation on what they do, if you're interested.
I sure am.
You know, her and the sheriff together, because they work together a lot more than we do, is probably a great idea.
Yeah.
Because they both have serve a different function that can answer questions.
She's willing to come next meeting. I did give her, a promise that we put her first on the agenda, instead of last, so she can get out of here.
Who is it?
It's Shondi Hoy. So if you're interested, I'll get a hold of her and make arrangements.
Why not?
Why not?
There's a couple of people in here who directly relate to like mental health and crisis. I'm looking at you, Susan. I feel like you have a connection tying through the school district. Mindy, do you?
Not really.
No. Okay. All right. Yeah. I don't know. Like, great.
Okay.
There was reference made earlier to the school resource officers. Is there something going on with that, or something? What happened?
We don't have.
We don't have. Okay.
Yeah. Newport area schools currently do not have an SRO.
Do they want one, or can't get one?
Yes, and it's about, there are 6 openings.
Okay, that's what I was curious about.
And the sheriff's department has openings. And, yeah, so there, I mean, right now with the sheriff's department, provides one that covers our south area schools and our east area schools. And Lincoln City provides one for Lincoln City schools, and we don't have one currently for our Newport area.
Thank you.
There was one though, right?
Yep.
And what happened to that position?
I don't know the best way to describe it. So it was met with.
It's not being funded in the pandemic.
Well, it was met with some opposition. It also came to the time where we were having pandemic slash funding issues.
Okay.
And it was easier for us to eliminate the program at the given time. So there was a small group that was very vocal on anti-police in schools.
I'd be one of those.
There was a large group that was supportive of police in schools. But mainly, I think it, that came to the council was a small, that the smaller group was the more vocal.
Okay.
Susan, is that accurate?
Actually, I think both were vocal, but it was also just more a cost measure and also the timing when students weren't in school, like physically going into school. And so could we re-resource that officer to be patrol, to be detective, whatever, you know? But it has been voted to be, you know, it's a part of the budget for the new year. It's in there. It's just an issue of a vacancy.
Left, right, when they're the community resource officer.
The council actually for this budget year funded a dedicated SRO. And we were all systems go. It was our first priority when we had the available body out of all of our specialties. And then the floodgates of people leaving happened. And so it's still a priority, but now it's more of a dream because we have to staff it.
Staffing, yeah. I didn't ask for public comment. You know, I wish we could get public to our meetings. I wish.
Be careful what you wish for.
Well, no, I think it's important.
Controversy going and you can get public, I'm sure.
But if we're gonna be engaging the community, then we need to engage the community, but I don't know.
How do we let the public know that the committee even exists besides the National Night Out?
Good question.
So it's a public meeting like any of the committees, any of the anythings. It's published. It's posted in various locations on the, in the city physically, and then also the city's website. And then you guys ultimately represent different groups that you are welcome to invite, talk to, seek input.
Okay. Should talk it up.
You know, our council meetings can have 0 people to 200, so you just never know what's happening. Depends on the mood and the topic.
I wonder if, curiosity, I heard that Peggy in the past did a little brief thing about public officials and ethics and public meeting laws. I think it would be really useful. I mean, we're all public officials.
She did that on paper.
And we kind of need to know. Here, I mean, for our committee, she did.
We've had some people join, maybe good to do it annually.
Yeah, I think it's important.
Well,
because I think we lose back the side of us being public officials, and we have certain, you know, ethics.
She has a 10 or 15 minute presentation, a PowerPoint that she goes through. That would probably be beneficial. It also probably good training for Eric, the new assistant city manager who's taken over for her.
Yeah.
That will be teaching that, so.
Good.
I will talk to her about a future meeting. Not the next one. The next one's pretty busy.
I had a committee comment, but I committee adjacent. Just to say, I thought Sam did a great job on the write-up that was in the paper.
Yeah.
On the committee. I thought that was great. And then also kudos for the National Night Out. I thought that was well done and nice committee representation.
Well, that reminds me.
Richard already mentioned it.
Susan is currently modeling the shirt.
Oh.
We have advisory committee t-shirts.
Oh.
I would like everybody to take yours. There's various sizes in here. When we had them made, originally it looked a lot like police on here and talked about it and decided it would be great to just emphasize the Newport part, because we're not part of the police. And to make that division, we're an advisory committee, we're not cops, what?
We discussed.
Wait, if you wanna like deputize us though, I would take it back.
We discussed, you decided. Yes, we did.
How about just a patch, how about just a patch?
We did discuss.
A badge.
For the record, no other committees get shirts, just so.
Yeah, so please pick one up, because they're for us.
Yeah, and Lonnie, you wear this proudly in the public, and people will be like, well, I have a question, and here you go, you start the conversation.
I will.
There's a couple of events coming up where I'll wear that, it'll get some exposure.
Last month I was at a thing, and people, the swag that they were giving out were badges from different police departments, I thought, this seems shady to me, like, that I could just become a part of like San Antonio's police force if I zip this or sew this on the right thing, anyway.
I have a box full of patches.
Okay.
Yeah, from around the country.
You need a vest with all of them on.
I would have to have like a.
Yeah.
Or a, what were they called, their.
A large cloth.
Yeah.
Yeah, a large cloth.
Yeah, I have lost control a lot.
I have, okay, everybody, anything else, for the good of the order, we're adjourned.
Thanks.
I tried to voice, get a slot patches with departments that I worked with.
Not so much, but that's okay.
When I was out in Pennsylvania.
That was the whole point, stack it, you don't want them all.
Well, I don't have an extra patch, here, wait.
A lot of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Shirts that you're gonna get rid of, grabbed it, took the scissors, cut it out, and I got part of his shirt with these patches.
All good times.
That's probably the only one I could ever hope to get, yeah.
Do you have one of our patches?
Yeah.
You want one?
Yeah, absolutely, I do, yeah, I know.
Hunger, I've had them, I've never collected them, but I ended up collecting them.
Well, I can give you a great start to the collection.
Well, I probably have 400.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
And then I have, anybody that travels.